Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Who is not a Christian? Well, I realize that is a negative approach, but it might be worthwhile to look at it from a negative approach. The word Christian is found three times in the Scriptures. In Acts 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. In Acts 26 and verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And the third time is in 1 Peter 4, verse 16. "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." But of course we know that today the word is used loosely of just a good moral person, a person that's involved in maybe civic activities, or anybody that belongs to a religious denomination. And we even have the term today, Christian atheist. But in the Bible, it only referred to certain ones, not to those that were idol worshippers, not to those that were Jews, not to a person that was immoral, and not even to people that were good, moral individuals. We know that during the Old Testament period, there were no Christians. They were called the people of God, like in Judges 20 and verse 2. The statement is made concerning saints in Psalm 16 and verse 3. And of course, what we need to remember is that they were not called Christians until Acts 11 and verse 26. They were called Christians first in Antioch. So Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, those individuals were not Christians. Even as we read in Hebrews 11 of those characters that are from the Old Testament period, nowhere in those 40 verses of Hebrews 11 were any of those individuals called Christians. It's sort of like in the same way that none of the offspring of Abraham were called Israelites until God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And we read about that in Genesis 32 and verse 28. First of all, those who are not Christians are those who are good moral people. Now, don't get me wrong, Christians must be good moral people. We're told in Colossians 3 and in verse 5, it says, "Therefore put to death your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry." We find that we're not as to use as Christians filthy language. We're not to go to certain places. We're not to lie. We're not to drink. We're not to commit adultery. But you know, when you think about it, the fence post that's out there in the field, that fence post doesn't do any of those things either. Does that make it a Christian? So see, it's not, what I'm saying is, it's not just a matter of what we are not doing, but it's what are we doing. We know Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we know in chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. So one sin that's unforgiven by God is still held against us. And there's not enough good that you can do to take care of just even that one sin. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So we see then that we are saved through the blood of Christ. We read an example of a man that was a good moral individual, and that was Cornelius in Acts 10. What we read about this man, it starts out in the very first verse of chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. Certainly, he was a man who was a good moral individual. And yet, what did he have to do? As we go on and read in chapter 10 and 11, he had to send to Joppa for Peter to come and tell him words whereby he must be saved. That indicates that good morality does not save a person in and of themselves. I know of some atheists that are good, moral people. But are they saved? Funerals are preached where the good morals of the person are held out as an indication of their being saved. You know, doctors lose patients and lawyers lose cases, but I know of some preachers that have never lost a soul to hell. But not all good moral people, not just in and of itself, does not make them Christians. Not all religious persons are Christians. In James 1 and verse 27, it says that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And yet, we can be religiously wrong. Because in the verse previous to James 1 and verse 27, we read verse 26. He says, if any among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, this man's religion is vain. So we see then that just being religious doesn't make a person a Christian. In Acts 17, when Paul went to the city of Athens, and there was a city that was completely given to idolatry. That was a religion. It was idolatrous religion. We find that it says that they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And so it is then that just in Acts 17, here were people that were very religious. Paul made that statement to them very clearly when he said in verse 16 that while he waited at Athens, his spirit was stirred, provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. And the statement that he makes about them when they come to him and have him to speak, he said, in verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. But yet, here were people that were given to idolatry. Were they Christians? They were religious, but no. And we find also that in Acts 8, here was a eunuch that had went all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem for the express purpose of worshiping. A man that obviously was very religious, for I understand that it was hundreds of miles that he had to travel from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And now in Acts chapter 8, we see he's on his return journey from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. He's traveled over 1,000 miles to worship, a very religious man. But yet, what had to happen? Philip had to preach unto him the gospel for him to become a Christian. There are other religious people that we would take note of in the Bible. In Acts 16, there was Lydia, who was from the city of Thyatira, and yet she was praying when Paul first met her, and yet Paul had to preach unto her the gospel for her to obey that gospel in order to become a Christian. Certainly one of the classic examples of a religious person that wasn't a Christian was Saul of Tarsus, who later became to be the Apostle Paul. A very religious man. He was a Jew. He thought he was to do the will of God by persecuting anyone that professed to be a Christian. He had orders to take anybody that he found to be a Christian, to bound them, to bring them, and to put them into prison. A very religious man, a very zealous man in his religion. But he had to hear the things that Ananias told him, and to become a Christian. very religious, but yet none of them were Christians. Not all religious persons are Christians. And not all who believe are Christians. And yet we must believe. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. So we see then that Jesus also said in John 8 and verse 25, or 24 rather, I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So yes, we must believe in order to be Christians, but just believing doesn't make us a Christian. We must be an obedient faith. Acts 6 and verse 7, it says that and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So obedience is required in addition to faith in order to make a person a Christian. We see, too, that not all that are baptized are Christians. Yet we must be baptized into Christ, as Galatians 3, verse 27. That verse teaches us that baptism is that which puts us into Christ. But yet we see that in Acts 19, in those first 7 verses, that when Paul went to the city of Ephesus, that there were 12 men who knew only the baptism of John. And we find that in the end of that teaching that Paul does to these 12 men and teaches them concerning Christ, they were baptized in the name of Christ. Were they Christians before? No, they were not Christians until they heard the things that Paul preached and as a result were willing to be baptized in the name of Christ. You see, in order to be right, baptism must have the right action. That is, it must be a burial. Colossians 2 and verse 12, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Baptism is to be buried with Christ. It must be the right subject. That is, as Jesus said in Mark 16:16, it's he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The person has to be capable of believing the gospel that is preached in order to be a subject for baptism. And baptism has to be for the right purpose. For the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38. Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For means in order to have the remission, the forgiveness. It doesn't mean because your sins are already forgiven. Or else if it does, then Jesus came into this world and died because our sins were already forgiven. Matthew 26 and verse 28. Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Same phrase, for the remission of sins. Did Jesus die because our sins were already forgiven? Or did he die in order for us to have our sins forgiven? The same term is when the Peter used in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized in order to have the remission, the forgiveness of sin. And in order for baptism to be right, it must be with the right authority. It must be in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority. So friends, we see that those many times, that there are those who think they are Christians, but the truth in the matter is, they are not. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.